Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, another installment of our Living Questions series, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. This summer, the Shalom Hartman Institute in Jerusalem hosted Jewish, Christian, and Muslim clergy for intensive study in a city that is fundamentally significant in the traditions of all three faiths. My guests today are two clergy who were there. Rabbi Daniel Berg leads Beth Am Synagogue in Reservoir Hill. Reverend Gray Maggiano is the rector of Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill. They studied in a part of the world where ethnic conflict has suffused daily life for generations. What are the lessons to be learned from the Middle East? Can they inform solutions to the problems we encounter here in Maryland? Midday Living Questions, coming up right after the news. And on 81 WYPR, it's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks to everybody who has made a pledge at WYPR.org. or on the phone, 235-1395, area code 410. We appreciate everybody's helping out so far in this first weekday of our fall membership campaign. Welcome to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's time now for another installment in our monthly series, Living Questions, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies. My guests this afternoon are two young, dynamic clergy whose work in their congregations is informed by their commitment to social justice. They are not only spiritual leaders, they are also animating their largely white congregations around the issues that affect our majority African-American city. Daniel Kotzenberg is the rabbi at Beth Am Synagogue in Reservoir Hill, just south of Druid Hill Park. The Reverend Gray Maggiano is the rector of Memorial Episcopal Church in the neighborhood that's adjacent to Reservoir Hill to the south, Bolton Hill. They live and work about a mile apart from each other, and this summer they found themselves studying in Jerusalem at the same time at the Shalom Hartman Institute. Rabbi Berg took part in the Rabbinic Leadership Initiative, and coincidentally, Father Maggiano was attending the Christian Leadership Institute. Jerusalem is a place that is important to the three Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. The Shalom Hartman Institute is a leader in advancing religious pluralism and elevating Jewish life in Israel and around the world. This afternoon, a conversation with Daniel Berg and Gray Maggiano about the work they did at Shalom Hartman and what they learned about each other's faith traditions and how the experience of this intensive period of study and reflection is informing their activism here in Baltimore. It's great to have you both on the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Gray, welcome to town. I've been here 35 years and have found it a terrific place to live and work, and I hope that that's the same experience for you and your family.
Indeed.
And Daniel Berg, full disclosure, you and I have known each other for quite a while, and we see a lot of each other off the radio. We are next-door neighbors in Reservoir Hill, and we are delighted that that's the case. And I know the folks at Beth Am have been just thrilled that you've been their leader for quite a long time. Gray, let me start with you. Tell us about the program you were in, this initiative, and what you were trying to achieve, and how long it goes, et cetera, et cetera.
So the Christian Leadership Initiative is a unique program for Christians in the Holy Land because, as you can imagine, Christians make a lot of trips to this part of the world, and usually it is from a historic perspective. It's an opportunity to go and visit the sites where Jesus walked, where he slept, where he ate fish, where he did all the things that he did. But we don't spend a lot of time engaging with either the dominant cultures in the region or with the current events that are going on. And so this was an opportunity for the 27 of us to gather together in a concerted effort to study Jewish texts from a Jewish perspective and really be able to see from a very different lens how Jews in Israel view their current situation and view their history and their faith.
And there was at least one other Christian minister from Baltimore along for the ride with you, right?
Yes, Jason Poling, who's also an Episcopal priest here in Baltimore, was with us as well. And there was Episcopalians, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian. I don't want to leave anybody out, but there was a large group from a number of different Christian traditions, both ordained and lay people, academics and pastors, and a large contingent of folks who've been very active in the Black Lives Matter movement, which added another sort of aspect to the ministry.
And Rabbi Berg, you were also in the same place, Shalom Hartman, a place that I got familiar with through a guy named Noam Tzion, who's a terrific scholar at Shalom Hartman. And he and I did programs at Beth Am years ago. We started those in the 90s, I think, called Scripture and Song. But what was your program oriented for?
Yeah, and one of the nice things but sad things about living across the street from the synagogue and next to you is that now when we have scholars and residents come to Beth Am, they don't get to stay with you anymore. And I know that's something that Noam and other scholars over the years have really enjoyed.
That's how I met Noam. Right. He stayed at our house several times. Right.
So I was part of the Rabbinic Leadership Initiative, which is a 3.5-year cohort of rabbis from across the different streams of Judaism. We have 28 rabbis participating in my program. We are the sixth cohort, and it's a wonderful group of men and women from around North America coming from different perspectives, different ideas about revelation, different ways of interpreting Jewish text, but each of us looking to elevate our rabbinates in our respective communities.
I have a friend in Santa Fe, New Mexico, of all places. She's a Unitarian minister. Her name's Talitha Arnold, and she's a New Yorker and trained, did her, went to the Yale Theological Seminary. And she's a right coaster. And so she finds herself out in New Mexico, you know, with where the topography is different. The trees look different. The sky looks different. The stars look different. And she wrote a piece, a monograph about the importance of place to spiritual journeys to spiritual enlightenment. It's interesting, Gray Maggiano, to study Judaism in Jerusalem. It's a different thing than sitting in your study in Bolton Hill, isn't it?
Indeed. A lot of people ask, we spent a lot of time in the classroom. In a lot of these programs, we'd get there at 8 in the morning and not leave until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And so people, including my wife, who was home with our newborn child, would say, do you really have to do this there? I mean, couldn't you just do this in Baltimore or New York or somewhere nearby? And it really does change the character and the flavor of the conversation to be in that holy place. Not just because you can get up and walk through the old city on your way to Shalom Hartman or on your way home, but just as Ruth Calderon, who's a member of the Knesset, or was a member of the Knesset in Israel, described it, being in Israel, you are Jewish whether you like it or not. You become Jewish because you live in the same pattern and you follow the same rituals and the same traditions because it's such a part of the ethos there. And so being in that place and following the same rhythms and the same patterns, the same diet, the same approach to life really added a whole nother level to our it took it from being an academic conversation like we could have in any classroom to being a really spiritual and personal conversation.
And Daniel Berg, you've been very involved with the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies here ever since you came to town back in, what was it, 2010?
Right.
And it's interesting that the Shalom Hartman has a particular reputation for opening its doors and welcoming people not only from different denominations of Judaism, but from people well outside the Jewish state. This goes back a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they really began, first and foremost, trying to be expansive and pluralistic within the Jewish tradition and the Jewish community in a country, the state of Israel, where Judaism is often one thing or another, but not many things, and certainly not a pluralistic approach to things. So Israelis may consider themselves largely secular, but the synagogue they don't go to is Orthodox. And so I think
the synagogue they don't go to.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. When they're on the beach on Yom Kippur, they're thinking about their Orthodox synagogue that they're not setting foot in. And of course, in America, we have this robust and diverse approach to Jewish life and living. Reform, Reconstructionist, conservative congregations, modern Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, and that's something that is less typical in the state of Israel for all kinds of sociological reasons we don't need to go into now. But suffice it to say, the Shalom Hartman Institute began by trying to lift up this idea of pluralism within Israel, Jewish pluralism. I think the natural outgrowth of that kind of approach is to say, well, there are also multiple voices of religiosity in not only the Holy Land, but really throughout the world. And so they began to start thinking about how do we include Christians and Christian leaders? How do we think about Muslim leaders and faith leaders? And how can we actually bring them all together? David Hartman liked to quote a rabbinic text called the Tosefta, where he talked about how there are these multiple voices in rabbinic tradition, and then the question is raised, how could the opinions of one school of thought, Hillel, also be acceptable along with another school of thought called Shammai? And the response in the rabbinic text is, so create a heart of many rooms. And that actually became the title of one of the books that Rabbi David Hartman, may his memory be for a blessing, created and wrote. And that's really their ethos. That's really their approach.
A heart for many rooms. Daniel Berg is the rabbi at Beth Am Congregation in Reservoir Hill, right across the street from our houses. Father Gray Maggiano is the rector at Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill, about a mile to the south. So I guess, Gray, if I understand it correctly, it's just sort of coincidental on purpose, mm-hmm. that the Jewish scholars, the Muslim scholars, and the Christian scholars were all there at the same time. So you did have a number of interactions with folks from outside the Christian tradition, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say it was not as accidental as you might think. I mean, there was a real intentionality about bringing Christians, Muslims, and Jews from the U.S. to Jerusalem at the same time to study in the same space. We did a number of things together, including some joint Havruta study with our rabbinical colleagues through some texts, as well as a pretty lively dance party between the three traditions. And I think it's really...
You're looking for pluralism.
Yeah.
Do the hustle. That's right. I'm sure some great rabbi probably said that, right?
But there was a real intentionality about bringing those three groups together and give us an opportunity to sort of live and eat and share together in a real intentional way.
In the Christian tradition, there are some texts, and I'm thinking perhaps of the Gospel of Matthew, in mm-hmm. which the lineage from Hebrew Scripture to the so-called New Testament mm-hmm. is quite clear. Mm-hmm. It's much less clear in the Gospel of John, for mm-hmm. example. There are two very different takes on, pretty similar.
Only two?
Theme. Yeah, right, exactly. How do you negotiate that? I mean, negotiate the differing understandings of Judaism that you came to the table with, mm-hmm. As a person who's a scholar in the Christian tradition. Was it tough?
I don't think it was tough. When you look at the gospel texts and really all of the texts in the New Testament, you have to take them as a whole, and then you have to also understand that these are in response to what we call the Old Testament, what you would call the Hebrew Scriptures, Daniel. And these are all in conversation together. And so each book in the New Testament is written to a particular audience with a particular goal in mind. And spending some time trying to figure out what the author is trying to say to that particular audience, the point they're trying to make. One thing that really became clear to me, and that I did not realize until I spent time with Shalom Hartman, is that the critiques that we read in the New Testament that sort of Jesus is levying against the leaders of the Jewish tradition at the time are the same critiques that other rabbinical leaders were levying against the tradition. And many of those reforms sort of came to be in what we call rabbinic Judaism now. And that there was a larger conversation at the time going on about what it meant to be Jewish, what it meant to be a person of faith.
All right, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll take your questions and your comments for Rabbi Daniel Berg and Father Gray Maggiano. You can give us a call, 410-662-8780. That's a different number than the number that you want to call to make a pledge to WYPR, 410-662-8780. You can send us an email, midday@wypr.org, or send me a tweet, @MiddayTomHall. When we come back, your thoughts on what religious leaders in Baltimore can do to build bridges among communities divided by race or ethnicity or economic status. But first, perhaps you'll give some thought about supporting WYPR in our fall membership campaign. Would you like to become a sustaining member? Let's send it back to Andy Beanstock and Sheila Cast to tell you how you can do just that. Thank you, Andy, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome back to Midday. Again, thanks to everybody who's made a pledge in our fall membership campaign. We very much appreciate it. If you've just joined us, it's the September edition of Living Questions, in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. My guests are Rabbi Daniel Berg of Beth Am Synagogue in Reservoir Hill and Father Gray Maggiano, the rector of Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill. To join our conversation, you can give us a call. Again, it's a different number than the number you use to pledge to WIPR. 410-662-8780 to join us here on Midday. 410-662-8780. You can send us an email, midday@wipr.org, or a tweet, Midday Tom Hall. Daniel Berg, the barriers to religious tolerance, the barriers to understanding and appreciation across traditions, particularly in light of the clear barriers we found between people who are in different economic stratas here in Baltimore just a year and a half ago. Are you finding that the barriers to tolerance are changing? Are they different from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago? Is it the same old story that's being told in slightly different ways?
Are you asking about barriers of tolerance between people of faith and different faiths?
Yeah, let's start with that. Between Christians and Jews and Muslims, for example.
Yeah, I think I'm finding it's at once changing and very much staying the same. So on one hand, there are real opportunities that exist in today's world and around Baltimore for people of faith to come together and talk through their differences. One of the things I appreciate about the ICJS, for example, is that they're willing to acknowledge religious difference and then figure out how to work through those differences by speaking openly and honestly about our differing faith traditions, and then from there come to the point of intersection. But I also think that there's a lot of ignorance out there. There are a lot of people who don't know much about the faith of other people. Or maybe they have a kind of cartoonish, limited view that they glean from watching television sitcoms or interacting through the media. And so I'll give you one example. I find being a faith leader in Baltimore is particularly challenging in the city, as a lot of the language that I hear from leaders is very Christological. It's hard for people to get to ecumenical, pluralistic prayer, and the discourse of how we speak about being religious very much assumes a Christian faith. And so one of the tasks, I think, for a rabbi in the city these days is to help gently, lovingly, but firmly remind people that there are lots of believers and practitioners of faith in Baltimore City who are not Christian. Some are Jewish, many are Muslim, and many are either other faiths or are no faith at all. And while they may feel connected to God or something greater than themselves, they need to be given permission to have a safe space within the society.
Yeah, Gray Maggiano, that's an important point. I wonder your experience in Israel this summer. You're in Jerusalem, and in so many levels, the ethnic and religious discord in the Middle East is just so more much more acute than anywhere else, perhaps on the planet. What did you learn about it? Are there parallels between the Israeli-Palestinian relationship and the relationship here in Baltimore between the economically oppressed African American community and that contingent of the white community that is that are the haves?
One of the most surprising experiences for me being a faith leader going to Jerusalem was, in the U.S., as an Episcopal priest, I am part of the old guard. Even though I'm relatively young, I'm from a tradition that sort of was part of the founding of this nation. And so I can, get up and stand with all the other faith leaders who belong to old traditions in this country. And I show up in Jerusalem, and our, piddlingly 400 years of history doesn't mean anything in a place where the history goes back thousands and thousands of years. And so I almost felt kind of inauthentic as a faith leader when I'm surrounded by these very old traditions and these, roads and paths that people have walked for many years. And so that was an important lesson to learn for a number of reasons, and relating kind of more directly to your question that, you know, our place in the world should not depend just on how long we've been there. And a lot of times, I think, in when we have conversations around race, particularly race in Baltimore, it's this, well, it's not, we're not racist, it's just, it's always been this way. And we're willing to sort of tolerate as a white majority and a white minority in a majority black city, we're willing to tolerate a certain level of racism and inequality because it's always been that way. And Jerusalem presented a unique way for me to interact with that sentiment and push harder on people to challenge that assumption that just because we've always been in charge, just because we've always had the power, just because we've always been the authorities, doesn't mean that we should allow that to continue to exist.
It's Midday on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. My guests are Father Gray Maggiano, the rector of Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill, and Rabbi Daniel Berg of Beth Am Synagogue up the road in Reservoir Hill. Daniel Berg, you have been at the forefront of activism as a rabbinic leader here in Baltimore. You live in a neighborhood that I'm not sure if it's majority African-American. I've never parsed it out.
It might be,
but it's certainly a lovely mix of people from all faith traditions. The Black Lives Matter platform, its relationship to Israel, its understanding of Israel, is problematic, isn't it? I mean, it calls for an end to U.S. federal aid for Israel. It says that by providing aid, the platform argues that the United States is complicit in the genocide taking place against the Palestinian people. They have criticisms of the construction of Israeli settlements in Palestinian areas, and it describes Israel as an apartheid state. These are people who, in many instances, on almost every other issue, you are in complete accord, and you're working tirelessly to advance their goals.
Well, one of the most important things, I think, is to tease apart different constituencies and coalitions and try to understand who is actually saying what in this really complex dialogue and conversation that's happening in America today. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge that people of color, and particularly African Americans, are being mistreated in the most profound ways by police often, but also through systems of inequity that are really ensuring that African Americans don't have the same opportunities in their particular zip codes where they often live, educational opportunities, access to health care, fair treatment by the police in courts and in other places as well. Acknowledging that is essential for us to move forward as a nation. And one of the problems that I find is that we often get distracted from that point by the various news cycles of the day. Having said that, you're right. There was a platform that came out a little while back from the Movement for Black Lives. And as I understand it, that's a coalition of a number of groups from all over the country. Some groups that are associated with Black Lives Matter did sign on to that platform. Some did not sign on to that platform for a whole host of reasons. And remember, part of what's important to understand about Black Lives Matter, it's largely a leaderless movement. And so we don't have a group of people, specific figureheads who are dictating to the masses, you should believe this about Israel or about the Palestinians. We have a consortium of people who are trying to come together and offer a document that they want to be and they hope will be transformational in the world. Much of that document, I think, is very positive. That section of the document, I think, is deeply problematic. And yes, it was hurtful to read that they're accusing the State of Israel of genocide, a term that was coined to describe the Holocaust, the eradication of, a third of the Jewish people of the world, 6 million Jews, not to mention many others as well. But if we allow ourselves to get distracted from the systemic and structural challenges that we have in urban societies like Baltimore because a few people say some offensive things, that becomes then a real problem for us as a society, and I don't want to go there.
And Greg Maggiano, what did you learn about the difficulties of having candid, difficult conversations about Israel with Muslims and Christians? I mean, how have you grown in that regard personally?
For me, the most edifying part of the trip was the realization that those conversations are allowed to take place within Israel. And when you talk to Israeli citizens, when we sat down with people within the Institute and people on the street and friends and others, you discover quite quickly that lots of people in Israel also don't like how the Israeli government handles stuff in the territories. They don't like what's going on in the West Bank. They don't like the treatment of Gaza. They don't like the security profile and stature of the Israeli government. And that is tolerated and encouraged as part of a broader approach towards free speech. And so it was almost easier to have conversations around religious pluralism and around what's going on in Israel-Palestine there than it is here.
On 81, it's Midday. My guest today, Reverend Greg Maggiano from Memorial Episcopal Church, and Rabbi Daniel Berg from Beth Am Synagogue. Time for another quick break. We're going to talk a little bit about how much we depend on you to support shows like this one. Midday, like On the Record with Sheila Cast and Out of the Blocks with Aaron Henkin and Wendell Patrick. Here's Andy and Sheila to let you know how you can become a member of WIPR. And welcome back. It's Midday here on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall, and it's our monthly series today, Living Questions, in which we explore the significance and the impact of religion in the public sphere. We'll continue our conversation now with Rabbi Daniel Berg of Beth Am Synagogue and Father Greg Maggiano of Memorial Episcopal Church in Baltimore. They were both studying at the Shalom Hartman Institute in Jerusalem this summer. To join our conversation, you can give us a call, 410-662-8780. You can send us an email, midday@wipr.org, or you can drop us a tweet, @MiddayTomHall. Daniel Berg, there's a piece that Adam Gopnik, a writer I like a lot who files in The New Yorker, wrote a couple of years ago. I was talking about religion and the general trend away from organized religion in the Vox Populi here in the United States. And when he's talking about religious ideas, he says it's not always it's not a matter that the ideas don't matter. But it's a matter of that we too readily skip over the question of how they came to matter. And I'm intrigued by that. And I'm intrigued by that in the context, for example, of this summer, while you guys were away, BUILD, the Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, had a very significant role in crafting an agreement with the developers of Port Covington. So the religious community really stepped up in the public sphere in a very significant way. In terms of this conversation about how ideas have come to matter, have ideas of political involvement, civic involvement, started to matter more in the Jewish community, the Christian and the Muslim community here in town?
And I think they've always mattered, and I think that's what Gopnik was really lifting up there. I don't know much about the particular deal with Port Covington, but I think the problem is that we've allowed often, and religious leaders are very much part of this problem, we've allowed ourselves to be marginalized into a certain sphere, and that sphere is something other than all the things that matter to people, right? So religion is something other than taking care of your kids, or it's something other than science, or it's something other than art and theater and literature. And of course, religion is infused within all of these things and has what to say about all of these things. It's meant to be all inclusive. Comes from the word religion, comes from the Latin that means to tie together, to bind. And that's really what we're about. So those ancient ideas, I can speak for Judaism, for example, the idea of the Sabbath, that in our frenetic society that we ought to take a break sometimes and take a breath and do what Abraham Joshua Heschel says, which is to move from the world of creation to the creation of the world, simply to appreciate the blessing of existence. That's something we could really use. the idea that we are created in the image of God. Art Green, the modern philosopher, once quoted Heschel as saying that sometimes we forget what that actually means in Genesis when we say that we were created in the image of God, and therefore we're not allowed to create images. Right? That's, of course, the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. But what Heschel was trying to say is that that doesn't mean there are no images of God in the world. You can't make God's image, but you can be God's image. We are God's image. You and I, all of us, actually are a reflection of the divine in the world. How would our society be different? How would relationships between Israelis and Palestinians, how would relationships between and among Americans from different backgrounds be different if each of us encountered every other person as if they were infinitely valuable? That's a religious idea. That's a Jewish and Christian idea. And we just need to, we faith leaders, need to be able to lift that up as a religious idea and to say, this is religion having something to say in the public sphere.
And Greg Maggiano, we are in a political season. You may have heard there's a debate tonight, you know, that they expect perhaps 100 million people to watch by some estimates. What's your take on your role as a religious leader in the political universe?
I think our role as faith leaders, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jew, is to offer your congregation, offer the people that you come into contact with, a way to view the world from a faith perspective. Because there's so much noise and there's so much tension out there that my goal is always to force people not to take a side, to not align themselves with any particular faction or ideation out there and consider themselves, you're a child of God. You don't vote as a Democrat or Republican or a conservative or liberal. You vote as a child of God. And that should inform your opinion in a very different and profound way than someone who's coming at this from a political perspective.
Greg Maggiano is the rector of Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill. Rabbi Daniel Berg, the rabbi at Beth Am Congregation in Reservoir Hill. You're listening to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. A-Rod joins us from Baltimore. A-Rod, welcome to Midday and Living Questions. Glad that you called.
Yes, thank you very much. First and foremost, I just want to thank you guys for just having this conversation. I think it's an important and well-needed conversation. I wanted to make a comment just about the question that you asked Rabbi Bird about Black Lives Matter. And what I wanted to say was that, first and foremost, I'm an African-American male. I've been in Baltimore for about 20 years. And most of my life, I've been impacted in some way or another by racial issues. And I thought that Rabbi Bird answered the question extremely poignantly. I think that he addressed it well, and I could not have said it better myself. I think that the point that you made is that, first and foremost, as it relates to African-Americans and race and the injustices in this country, we can't begin to resolve the issues unless we admit that those issues are there and they're real. So I appreciate you bringing that point to light, and people need to recognize that. And then from there, we can start looking at what we need to do as a community to resolve those issues. Even if, and I agree with you again, what you said about there being disagreement. Sometimes there could be disagreement in how we want to approach things, but it doesn't mean we need to stop having discourse, and we don't need to allow that to throw us off what the real issues are. So just because we disagree, it's okay to disagree, but continue to dialogue so we can find common ground. But thank you so much for your point and the way you address that question.
Thanks for your call, A-Rod. I appreciate it. So, Daniel Berg, when there is a disagreement, what's your starting point? What's your launching point for the conversation once the disagreement's been established?
Yeah, so I really appreciate the comments. Thanks so much. For me, I really think it begins with relationships. And if there's anything that I'm reminded of when I hear something like the eruption around that particular platform, I'm cognizant of the fact that there were things in that platform that were problematic. But it's a reminder that more Jews and blacks, for example, need to encounter one another. We need to understand one another. We need to hear each other's stories. And if the relationships are there, then we can go into the safety of those interactions and begin to actually push each other on the assumptions that we make about the other. So, for example, one of the things I really appreciate about living in Reservoir Hill and Beth Om's being a fairly large, fairly vibrant Jewish congregation in a majority African-American and very diverse neighborhood is that we actually go out into our community and try to engage our neighbors. And we do that in a number of different ways through our In For and Of initiative. We do it by hosting programs. We do it on Election Day by passing out refreshments to those who are coming in to vote. We participate in the local farm festival, harvest festival at the Whitelock Community Farm, which is coming up in October. So years ago, they started a greens cook-off. We now have an annual Kugel and Greens cook-off, which is great. And a great chance to come and see African-Americans and Jews. And by the way, there are also Jews who are Jews of color. We have Black Jews in our community too. But people coming from different faith traditions and with different cultural and food traditions interacting with each other, sharing food, sharing culture. And then once we have those relationships, then we can start to have conversations about politics and about geopolitics. But let's not start there. Let's start by getting to know one another.
Great. Majano, you also lead a largely white congregation, but you try to be involved on the other side of Utah Place, you know, which is basically Sandtown, Winchester, Harlem Park, and the area that, you know, was directly affected by the riots that happened about a year before you came. How do you approach that opportunity?
Daniel took the words out of my mouth that it is all about relationship. We have for too long, as white communities in Baltimore, attempted to fix problems in predominantly Black neighborhoods, providing them the solutions and telling them how they need to order their business. And this is there's a lot of atonement, I think, that needs to happen among congregations like myself. There's an image has been going around of the restrictive covenants that were written in the early 1900s in Baltimore, and it's important for us to know that the person who drafted that covenant was an Episcopalian. He was an active member of the Episcopal Church in Baltimore, and there's a lot of atoning that needs to happen and relationship building before you ever get to solutions.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your taking the time to come and be part of this Living Questions conversation, and also appreciate the work that both of you are doing in your congregations and throughout the city. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Rabbi Daniel Berg is the rabbi at Beth Om Synagogue in Reservoir Hill. Reverend Gray Maggiano is the rector at Memorial Episcopal Church in Bolton Hill. This has been another installment of Living Questions, our monthly series in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in conjunction with the Institute for Islamic Christian and Jewish Studies. You can hear this and all of the conversations in our Living Questions series on our website, wypr.org/livingquestions. That'll do it for us today on Midday. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have analysis of tonight's presidential debate. Hope you can join us for that. And a reminder that NPR will have complete coverage of the debate tonight at 9 o'clock right here on your public radio, 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening, and thanks to The Diz for supplying lunch for our guests today. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. Features signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends. They can be found on the web, thedizbaltimore.com. Thanks also to everybody who's stepped up and become a member of WIPR in this, our fall membership campaign. If you haven't yet made that move, we're going to throw it over to Andy and Sheila, and they'll tell you just how easy it is to do just that.